Our scripture lesson this morning comes from Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. Let us hear God's word. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints in Ephesus, we could also say to the saints in Sandy Plains, because it's addressed to us as well, to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. May the Lord our God put his blessing upon this, the reading of his holy word. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious and heavenly Father, we come before you now. You have taken care of us this past week with such love and tender and care. You have met all of our needs. But now, heavenly Father, we're coming to you asking for more. We ask that you will send your spirit, open up our hearts and minds to the glory of Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. Okay. You've got a choice to make. We're playing a game. You got two puzzles, two jigsaw puzzles. Now, one puzzle just has the pieces scattered on the table. We don't even know if all the pieces are there. On the other side, the pieces are scattered, but we know where they go. Now, who do you think is going to fix the puzzle quicker? Here or here? The ones without the knowledge or those that are given the knowledge, but yet have to put it together? Well, we all know. We want to have all the pieces of the puzzle so that we can put it together. That is the New Testament. That situation is the New Testament. See, when we look at the Old Testament, we know things like Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created all things. Yes. You know Psalm 23, don't you? You know that one. When you look at the New Testament, oh, you know John 3:16. But do you know how Genesis 1, Psalm 23, and John 3:16 fit together? It seems like it's kind of like a puzzle, isn't it? How do they all fit together? Well, you need to understand that the Bible is made up of 66 books. But these are not 66 books that are isolated from one another. They are 66 books that really make up one book. And in those 66 books is revealed to us what we call the covenant of grace. You see, like a rope, and boy, have I seen that this week, a rope that ties timbers together, separate timbers, but yet they're all part of the same bundle. That's what the Bible is. Okay? 66 books, but they're all bound to one another because they are teaching you something different about the main theme of the Bible. 66 books bound together to make one. These covenants, covenant with Adam, covenant with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, covenant with David, though they occur at different times in history, yet they are all connected. They are all connected. Because in each case, guess who speaks to Adam? Guess who speaks to Noah? Guess who speaks to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Guess who speaks to Moses? Guess who speaks to King David? All separate people over hundreds of years. But Jesus Christ is talking to each one of those people to reveal God's plan for the church. The Bible, you see, is then seen and understood as God's own diary to you. You know, you might have had a diary growing up. Maybe you still do. Things that happen, you write it down so that you can remember after many, many years. You can remember, oh, on such a date, at such a time, I did this. La, 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 la. Right on down the line. The Bible is God's diary, His journal to you. Because what He is doing, He is recording for you what He did in creating the universe. Then He recorded how Adam and Eve sinned and what He did because of their sin. Remember, He slaughtered the animal, poured out the blood. Of course, jumping the gun here, you know, that's a picture of Christ. Blood being shed for the forgiveness of sins. But this is God's journal. And He's not recording these things down so He remembers. Oh my goodness. No. God does not forget. He does not change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He records all these significant biblical incidences. Things about redemption that He wants you to know and to understand. And they are all part of the different pieces of the puzzle. And when you bring them all together, it shows us the work of Jesus Christ. And all of these things are what we call, when you bundle them all together, it's what we call the covenant of grace. Well, preacher, well, what's the covenant of grace? All right, since you ask, I'm going to tell you. From all eternity, that means there was no beginning. From all eternity, because God does not change, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, in their mind, and of course I'm speaking anthropomology, speaking with human terminology,
because that's the only way we can understand God.
The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit from all eternity. In other words, there was never a time that this was not going to happen. There was never a time that God just went, oh man, let's do it like this. No. From all eternity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, in their infinite mind that we cannot even begin to understand, chose particular people to redeem them. Let me say it again. From all eternity, the triune God, in their mind, chose particular people to redeem. And this is the way it worked. God the Father chooses who is to be saved. And God the Father puts those people under the care of Jesus Christ, God the Son. It's kind of like you go to court, you know, you need an attorney to represent you and to present your best position. God the Father chose God the Son to represent you. There's only one mediator between God and man, and that mediator is Jesus Christ. So God the Father chooses who is to be saved. God the Son actually does the work of redemption, holy life, never sinning, suffering on the cross, being resurrected. God the Son does that. But then God the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, takes everything that God the Son did, and it is holy, it is perfect, it is loving, it is righteous, and the Holy Spirit takes it and applies it to you. The Holy Spirit takes the work of Christ and applies it to you. This is what Paul is referring to in Ephesians chapter 1. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every blessing, spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in Christ. Get this. For he chose us in Christ before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love. See, he's already got his love set upon you even before you were born, even before time and space was created for you to live in. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Christ Jesus, in accordance with his pleasure, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. Why were you chosen? You've been chosen from all eternity. Why were you chosen? I've had people ask me that. And the answer is simple. It's just not the answer they want to hear. Oh, there is a reason that from all eternity you were chosen to live with God forever. But that reason is not found in you. As a matter of fact, you were a sinner. You were in rebellion. God didn't choose righteous people. God chose sinners. And God chose you. But not because of anything in you that was righteous or good. God chose you. Get ready. God chose you because it pleased him to choose you.
Roger, God chose you because it pleased God to choose you. Same for all of us. It pleased God to deliver you from your sin.
Listen to what Jesus says dealing with this covenant of grace and this covenant that he has with God the Father, coming from John chapter 6. All that the Father gives me, this is Jesus now talking, all that the Father gives me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me. I ain't going to lose any of those that the Father has given to me. And I'm going to raise them up at the last day. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hands. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my hands. The Father and the Son covenanted to save particular people, some of which are us. None of the elect will be lost. Well, preacher, how can you say that none of the elect will be lost? Because the Holy Spirit is going to apply the work of Christ to the elect, even though they're still in their sins, which will produce repentance, faith in Christ, perseverance in love to Jesus Christ. The scriptures are very explicit. They tell us that God the Father has chosen a people to be his, and that God the Father has given those people to God the Son in order that God the Son may redeem them, do the work of redemption, and that then the Holy Spirit applies Christ's work to them. Oh, God demonstrates his love. He demonstrates his love by loving sinners and choosing sinners to live with him. That should, when rightly understood, it should bring you to your knees. It should bring you to your knees. And it should conform to the image of Christ in dealing with our family members, our church members, our people at work, people in school we're with. They should be able to see the work of the Holy Spirit in my life, me being transformed into the likeness of Christ, as well as those who see that. What do you think? Have you really considered this covenant of grace? This abundance of mercy that has been poured out upon you. Paul tells the Ephesians, I want you to know the width and the depth and the length of God's love for you. And it starts by understanding that from all eternity, the triune God has set his love upon you. And then he creates space and time. See this right here? There was a time that this didn't even exist. God created space. And he created time. Because he's going to create you
to live in it, and to enjoy Him, and for Him to enjoy you. The chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Let's pray.
Our gracious and heavenly Father, we thank You for Christ. We thank You for Your Holy Spirit. We thank You for this covenant of grace, this mercy, this love that has been poured out upon us. Oh, Heavenly Father, work Christ in us that we may love You and love others just as You have loved us. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's close our service as we stand and sing Blessed Assurance 693. Blessed Assurance 693.